You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mr. Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, yeah. How you doing there, Jerry? I'm a little tired this morning. I watched this football game last night. And I have to tell you a couple things in regards to football. And we'll get into the Aaron Hernandez lawsuit against the NFL. $20 million. His family's claiming that since his brain was diagnosed with CTE and
stage 3.
Stage 3 CTE, that they're going to sue the NFL for $20 million. So we'll get into that for a second. The CTE diagnosis does worry me, but the lawsuit is just
ridiculous.
It's so offensive, it's not even funny. But anyway, watching this football game last night, finally a Thursday night football game that had just about everything in it. It had interceptions, return for touchdowns. It had, you know, failed two-point plays. It had missed extra points. It had reversal, replay over. It had everything.
How about the athletic catches in this game?
It had everything. Yeah. It hit from Pierre Garçon to Sammy Watkins,
Robert
to Todd
Woods
Gurley, to Carlos Hyde, yep, to Jared Goff, to Brian Hoyer, to the two coaches who look like they should be coaching high school teams. It was really just a great game. So normally we would come in here on a Friday morning and we'd be lamenting the fact that the NFL game on Thursday night would be horrendous. Usually is.
Two teams
don't play very well, choppy offense. But last night, that was about as good a football game, fun football game, I should say. That you're going to see. I mean, it just literally had everything in it, and it had an onside kick return for covered.
But, yeah.
And it had a couple bad calls in it, and that's always going to happen in every game. But the thing that I found myself thinking about, I couldn't get enough of the Rams uniform.
Ugh.
I love the uniform.
Oh, come on.
I love the yellow uniform.
It looks like a mustard bottle.
I don't care. I love the uniform. Ugh. I thought it was awesome.
Terrible.
And I know I've seen it before and all this other stuff, but I would look good in that uniform.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes,
no
I would.
No one looks good in that uniform.
That uniform. Aaron Donald looked great in that uniform. You see that
Not
freak?
Not really. It looks
Dude,
terrible.
They look great in that uniform. And I can guarantee you, every single player that put that uniform on in the locker room loved that uniform.
I think they were about to go Chris Sale on him.
No, I don't think so.
Terrible.
I think the uniform's great. So I don't know if you want to
just
be a
contrarian. I like the Niners uniform.
The Niners should be red, not black.
There's red in it, but the black and the red. I thought the Niners uniform was pretty good.
The Niners uniform should be a red uniform, not a black uniform. But anyway, be that as it may, what a football game last night. And so if you're a Jet fan and you're watching that game, what does it have to do with you? It's two NFC Western Conference teams. It's a division team. So who cares, right? But here's the thing that you take out of last night's game. Both head coaches are former what?
Offensive guys. They're
right,
offensive coordinators. Yeah.
Both head coaches basically – one has a journeyman quarterback in Brian Hoyer, who played his ass off last night. And the other one has a former first overall draft pick in Jared Goff and Sean McVay for the Rams. And what has Sean McVay done to Jared Goff the first 3 weeks of the season?
Oh, he's improved tenfold from last year.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and he's moving around, throwing on the run yesterday. He had one throw where he's scrolling left and across his body and hit his receiver right in stride in the middle of the field.
Amazing what happens when you have the right coaching around you. You have somebody who understands your position and somebody who has a track record of getting guys like Kirk Cousins to the level where Kirk Cousins is. So I just say this because I know that there's a lot of discussion about what Chris Johnson's going to do for the Jets and all this other stuff and whether or not they're going to make any changes and all this other stuff. I would just say that, you know, when you have a young quarterback, and the Jets are going to have a young quarterback either this year or next year, you need to have somebody that understands how to develop that young quarterback and put that young quarterback in a situation where he can look like Jared Goff has looked the last 3 weeks and looked last night.
And then it comes back to you got a guy in Todd Bowles who's not this type of coach. He's a defensive coach. So what does it say?
You know, I don't
know. He's not a dumb guy. He's got to hear this and see this.
I'm sure he does. But now I will say this about the Rams. You remember they made a trade for Sammy Watkins. So Sammy Watkins now looks like the first-round draft pick that the Buffalo Bills
did
draft
last night, for sure.
Because he's got a real offense and a real quarterback, and they're throwing the ball down the field. They also have, Todd Gurley, who now looks like he is reinvented in this offense, and he was kind of missing in action last year. and a young quarterback who I think that they believe who went 22 of 28 last night, 292 yards and three touchdowns. Todd Gurley ran for 113 yards. Last night was a fantasy football fans, just absolutely perfect football game.
Unless, of course, you have Sammy Watkins like I do, and you didn't start him.
You didn't start him. Well, that's why would you start him?
Stupid.
Why
because he did nothing last week. That's why I didn't start him.
And plus, he's playing on Thursday night, and you're not thinking that you're going to get the output that you got last night.
I had very low, you know, to your point, I had very low expectations of this game.
Everybody
and
did.
Was stunned at what we
saw. I didn't see anyone anywhere even remotely think that this game had an opportunity to be exactly what it turned out to be. And that was a high-scoring, up-and-down affair. Athletes all over the place showing their their worth, and young quarterbacks, well, Jared Goff in particular, having almost a perfect night.
But even Brian Hoyer, you know, he starts the game. It was the first play. He gets picked off. The ball's almost run back for a touchdown, and you're thinking, yeah, I mean, exactly.
This is the way it's going to go, yeah.
This is going to be a mess of a game. And you know what? To their credit, they come right back, and they went down the field. So it was a fun game to watch. And the one game, too, that I mentioned, Robert Woods had a couple of really good catches in this game, too.
He did.
And the one with Watkins that is as impressive as hell to me is the one down the left sideline where his head is – he's got two guys draped on him, not one. He's in double coverage, and his head is all the way in his back. And somehow he finds the ball and makes the – I mean, an unbelievable play.
It was about as entertaining a game as you're going to see in the NFL this year. I don't care what anybody says because, like I said, it had everything. And if you're a New York Giant fan and you watch this, you go, what the hell are we doing? What are we doing?
I agree. I totally agree with that.
And a couple things that has come out now that have come out of New York Giant camp over there. Eric Flowers basically said, look, I had a couple bad plays. Other than that, I played really well. And I understand exactly what he's talking about. The unfortunate thing about those bad plays, everybody sees them. Everybody is watching him, and everybody sees that Ziggy Ansah in three different plays basically owned him. And it's unfortunate that a left tackle is stuck out there on an island like that, but that's just the way it is. And I think I know why Ben McAdoo came back and totally supported him, because Ben McAdoo saw exactly what he's telling you, what Eric Flowers is telling you, that there were times in this game where he actually did his job and he did it well. And that's what they're hanging their hat on. It wasn't like he was completely annihilated the entire game. It was three plays. Everybody saw those three plays. And there are probably inner workings there that maybe on one of those three plays probably wasn't all his fault. He probably thought he had help. He probably thought there was something else going on in the play that was going to allow him to be a little bit more aggressive. But I would just say this. They have no other choice. They have no other choice but to play Eric Flowers.
Nothing to do
now. And it looks like that Odell Beckham Jr. came out yesterday, said no problems coming out of the Monday night game. Should be able to go full go now.
Yep.
Should be on the field, and it couldn't come at a better time because Philadelphia has so many injuries in their secondary. So that part of it for the New York Giants is a good thing. The real question for me is going to be, will they be able to protect Eli from what I think is really one of the better and more quicker and more aggressive pass rushing teams in the NFL.
Oh, by the way, on the road. Oh, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, they're used to it, though.
That fan base is going to be loud. And you're talking about an offensive line that has struggled, communication breakdowns.
Yeah, but they're
up
front. They've all been there. It's not like they're going to somewhere they haven't been.
Okay, maybe. But have they exactly excelled there? I mean, it's not like they've gone there and
they haven't
crapped on the Eagles for the last couple of years with these guys up front. So I think this is, you know, I would never say a season can end in week three, and I wouldn't even say that this week, but I'll tell you what, you don't go up and win this football game or go down and win this football game Sunday, you're pretty close to it. You would have lost two division games already, and all three games would be inside the conference, and you would have turmoil up and down.
Do you think it's fair to say that the Jet offense actually looks like a real NFL offense compared to the Giants?
I do.
Even though the Jets, you know, haven't scored a ton of points, but there are times in games where Josh McCown looks like
He looks like an average NFL quarterback.
Like he belongs
there. He looks
there.
Fine. Yes. I would say so far the Jets offense has overachieved. The Jets defense has underachieved. The Giant offense has been fine. Defense has been fine, and the Giants offense has underachieved.
And speaking 100%. About the Giant defense, I would doubt very much if Jenkins is going to play. Jackrabbit Jenkins.
I saw that.
Is
he didn't
play.
Practice again yesterday.
Yeah, and if they don't practice.
B.J. Goodson didn't practice again
yeah,
either.
Yeah, he's not going to. I don't see him playing either. Again, both of these guys probably need another week. And, you know, it's not like every other team is dealing with the same thing. You know, they're all dealing with the same injuries. But This game here is the make or break game for the season, if you ask me.
I agree. And because you can't go 0-3 losing three conference games. Let me ask you this. There was a couple of plays with Beckham on Monday night or Sunday night, whatever it was, where you had the quick three-step, four-step drop, get the ball out, had the slant on one play. It went for a few yards. Another play, it went for 7 or 8. Why can't they do more of that to loosen things up defensively? You almost use that as a running game. And maybe Orleans Darkwah will get the start and more carries in there. All of a sudden, we'll find a running game. I'm not sold on that. Why can't you use that?
Why can't you? They all do
attack?
It. All the teams do it.
Well,
you
why
know,
can't
they're all,
they do that?
I've never seen anything like it. I think, you know, we used to have in our offense, and I'm sure Phil and all the guys from our era had the same thing, that if a defensive back was 10 yards off of a wide receiver, even if you had a run play called, you could just throw it out
right.
to him. And I'm sure a lot of teams still have that kind of stuff. But now in this generation of football, there's so many more wide receiver screens, running back screens, you know, behind the line of scrimmage completions. And that's something that I think the Giants probably could utilize a little bit more, especially with Sterling Shepard and with Odell Beckham Jr., to kind of get in some sort of rhythm and some sort of flow, get a couple easy completions. Assuming that you're playing against a team that is going to be really questionable at the back end of this whole thing because of all the injuries that they have. So I would think this is going to be a secondary that's going to have a hard time communicating. It's going to have a hard time, switching if they do switch in, you know, when players are coming down the field at them. You have to be aggressive, I think, in your passing attack against this secondary this weekend.
Here's what I know. I know you got Malcolm Jenkins back there, but you've got two kids playing quarterback in, what's his name, Rasul Douglas,
yeah.
who I've never heard of,
yeah.
and Jalen Mills, who I know went to school with Beckham, and
right.
that's all well and good. If they don't have a successful week this week, they never will. And I know the Eagles' front might be really good, but here's the thing. If your offensive line is struggling, your quarterback's immobile and struggling, you have got to get creative with your play calling. And to me, doing what I said and what you're saying is exactly what they might need.
You know, I always tell you that usually the coach will come in the first day of the practice of the week getting ready for the next team, and he'll kind of give you a general overview of the team. I don't know if the Giants do that. I would assume that they do. But give you a kind of a general overview of the team. You know, this is a good offensive team. They have a really good passing attack. We have to watch out for their running backs who are good out of the backfield. Their defense likes to blitz a lot. And their special teams have won like two games for them with block punts.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be sharp in all these phases. But I'm highlighting what they really, really do well. Now, here's what they don't do well. And this is what I think we can take advantage of if we practice right, our mindset is right, and we go into the game thinking that this is what we can accomplish. So you kind of get all of those things out there, and everybody hopefully is listening and paying attention. So then when you start thinking about the game plan and all that other stuff as you get closer to the game, you start thinking, okay, I'm going to be throwing on first down a lot this game. I'm going to be throwing against this particular cornerback. I'm going to get OBJ coming across on this particular play because we've recognized in their defense they have a hole in their secondary in this situation. I mean, all the different things that go into game planning. And I would think that if you are Sullivan or you are or McAdoo, that you are standing in front of your offense saying, look, guys, they are banged up in the secondary. So that means Eric, that means Justin, that means Weston. Guess what? We got to make sure that we protect Eli. We got to give him a half a second longer, and we're going to go down the field with the football. And this is the way we're going into this game. This is what we are thinking. And this way you put the hat on certain players to have their best game and to make sure they practice like that going into the game. So when Sunday comes, everybody is ready to do what they're supposed to do, and there are going to be a handful of guys that are really going to have the spotlight on them that in order for the Giants to win, those players have got to play their best game of the season.
How about this? How about the fact that you're going up against a banged-up secondary? You've got Odell Beckham Jr. Oh, by the way, Brandon Marshall, who we didn't mention just yet. Sterling Shepard, Roger Lewis, Evan Engram. You've got weapons and Shane Vereen, and you've got a two-time Super Bowl MVP quarterback in Eli Manning. If you don't show some competency on offense this week, blow it up, because then sucks.
Well, I don't know about blow it up.
Here's the thing.
If they are
not good this week offensively,
right.
they are not going to be good offensively, because while, again, that front might be good, the rest of it's not.
Did you see the offenses last night? Did you see them going up and down the field?
I did.
Did you see those athletes making plays? Did you see
I did.
Those wide receivers
why
just
can't
going?
These guys do
they
that.
Can.
Of course
and,
they
and,
can.
And, you know, listen, you can't be dropping balls, that's for sure.
You got that
Getting
right.
Getting 100% healthy Odell Beckham Jr. will help. And I think you should have a reasonably high score. I don't think you can get 41-39, but I could see like a 27-24
guy. If they don't put up 20 points offensively this week,
right,
they're not going to. And at the very least, drop back and just throw the damn ball to Beckham and see what happens. Say, go get the ball. It's a lot better than the crap we've seen the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a lot better than the stuff we've seen the last couple weeks.
And
if
you do that, you get the double team. Hey, Brandon Marshall, catch the ball.
Yep. As you can tell, it's a Football Friday on the Fan. As Jerry's all fired up here this morning in the power chair.
It's a Football Friday, yeah.
And you got your Rutgers shirt on today. And what's going on with them?
I got Midnight Madness next Friday.
Next Friday is Midnight
Madness. To the college basketball season. Yeah, man.
Basketball is already here.
Well, we'll have Midnight Madness next Friday. Then practices start in November. We start games. You want to go?
No, I don't want to go. No, I do not want to go.
Me and you at the rack next Friday night.
That's not happening.
I think that would fire up the faithful.
I understand what you're trying to do here, but I'm not doing it.
Steve Peichel would love to have you.
Man, Steve Peichel was great at Stony Brook.
He really did a great job there. He's been great in 1 year at
Rutgers. What I do like about Steve Peichel, I will say this, I don't want to morph into college basketball talk here, as it
you
is a Football Friday. I know, but I thought maybe you had something to do with the football
Remember,
team.
Here comes the boom. Here comes the boom. Your show, you
brought
it up.
But Steve Peichel did a hell of a job at Stony Brook, and now what I like more than anything is all the stuff about the recruiting that he's doing.
Yes.
And the fact that they actually have some legitimate basketball players over there.
They had legitimate basketball players
They are in a tough conference, though. Holy
yes,
crap.
They are. And they won a couple of games last year. They'll win more this year.
You know, a couple other stories that came out this week. It looks like Terry Collins is set to retire. At least that's what the news is. And I'm not surprised about any of this stuff because what did we talk about? What have I been talking about probably for the last month and a half now?
That this is probably the end.
Yes.
And I agree. And you know what? The headline did not surprise me. The problem to me, again, is you read the article then.
It doesn't match the
headline. It doesn't say he's retiring. It just says there have been no talks.
There have been no talks, and I think that many people believe that Terry is retiring. But even if he's not retiring, I believe that the Mets are definitely going in a different direction.
All good. Now,
I definitely feel that.
You're a Met fan. Let me ask you this.
I am. I don't have a guy for you right now.
That's
off the top
where I'm
of
going.
My head. I
Did
don't.
You read the names?
Yeah, I saw the names. They're all the same names.
Anybody excite you?
They're all the same names. They're
Bob
all...
Guerin, Dickie Scott. I mean, is that making you hot?
Is it making me hot?
Well,
I don't necessarily know that they're making me hot, but...
Does that excite you?
Does it excite me? No, there's nothing that excites me. To be honest with you, I just have to look at the names. I got to see who else may be available.
You know who is available?
Who is available?
Wally Backman.
Yeah, I know. They're not going to go down that road, so stop it.
No, of course they're not. But the one funny thing about the article, it says Bob Guerin is a possible candidate, and it says he struggled in Oakland because he had a team that underachieved because they had a lot of injuries. Perfect. Bring him in. Come on.
You know, the thing is, you know what I like? I love what I saw last night on the football field. And I love what I saw on the football field last night because it was two young coaches. It's kind of like the new wave of the way the NFL has to be played. I saw quarterbacks, you know, throwing the ball down the field. I saw wide receivers making plays. I saw running backs out of the backfield. I saw everything that you would want to see with a young, hip, offensive-minded, you know, aggressive coach. Now, I know the manager in baseball isn't nearly as impactful as the head coach in football, but damn, I'm sick and tired of retreads. I'm sick and tired of like bringing in, you know, another guy from another team who's had like, you know, as much respect as I have for a guy like Rod Gardenhire. Yes, Gardenhire. I don't want that guy. Because it's just, he's got to be like, 65 years old.
Agreed. You got to look outside the box. The Diamondbacks went out and got Torey Lovullo, and everybody's like, who the hell is he? And
right.
Look at what they've done.
So
I
would like to have somebody that has been in baseball, of course, that has been on a bench somewhere that really has the pulse of the younger player. That's what I want. And I don't know what it takes. You know, Terry Francona's not available, and there are very few Terry Francona's that can touch individual players from all over the place and get them to play as hard as they play. He did it in Boston, and he certainly is doing it in Cleveland. Who was that guy?
I don't know, but I would look to the bench coaches of teams like that
to see
if you have that next guy.
That's who I would look at. And I would look at all the successful teams, and I would look at all their different bench coaches, their pitching coaches, their hitting coaches, and decide, is there somebody in there that is young enough that's been around that has – an understanding of what National League Baseball is about.
You know,
because National League Baseball is different than American League Baseball from a manager standpoint. You know that, and I know that.
I do.
There's a lot more decision making that goes into it. It's a much tougher job in my eyes. It's a much tougher job. So you got to get somebody who understands, you know, the National League game. It's different.
I read an article, I want to say, about a week ago, and I'm looking it up because I forgot his name. I believe his name is Pedro Lopez. He's the Mets AAA manager this year, and he had tremendous success. And he has managed a lot of these kids that we're starting to see be brought up. So maybe they go in a direction like that. I don't know.
I would not have a problem with that. I just don't really know who he is or what he is.
I would just need to
know a little bit more about him. And I'd also need to know what his personality is like. Because let's face it, these guys talk to the media every single day. And Jerry Manuel was stumbling all over the place, right? Even Omar Minaya would stumble all over the place. And it just looked like it was unorganized half the time. So I just want to make sure that whoever you have is a good communicator to the fans, to the media, because they have to be, but also somebody that can touch the younger players, like a Ahmed Rosario, you know, a Dominic Smith.
No doubt.
Whoever they're going to bring in here, I just want a guy with freaking energy. I really want a guy with energy, and I want two other things. I want a guy that's going to be, and I know that Sandy Alderson doesn't believe in this, but I do. I want a guy that's sound defensively, and somebody who can manufacture runs. Well, somebody who believes in hitting runs. Somebody who believes in stealing bases. Somebody who's going to, you know, help build this team with speed and not just home run power. So you're just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting, and before you know it, you've lost six in a row because your team is not hitting home runs.
Alan Itty, you remember a day when I once got mocked profusely for saying the Mets hit too many home runs?
I never mocked you.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
Oh, yes, you did.
Jerry,
you were part of that.
I did not mock you. I like the home run, but I also need. I also know that when the home runs are not being hit in the National League, you have to do other things to score runs.
And they have.
And I want to be solid defensively because supposedly I got a pitching staff that should be supported defensively, and I need somebody who can run on the bases.
I totally agree.
All right, 6:22 on the Fan. It's a Football Friday on the Fan. Brian Jones coming up at 9 o'clock today to talk a little bit of college football, but also a lot of pro football with our picks coming up as well. And then we'll get into the Yankees. We got the Mets and Terry Collins, and of course we have the CTE situation with Aaron Hernandez.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.